All right, before we get into the Word, just want to give you an invitation that was passed on this week. Miracle Life is part of the Evangelical Fellowship of Zambia, and EFZ is celebrating 60 years of being in existence. So this is going to be at Bread of Life. So first service, you have a chance of making it. It's going to be at 13 hours. Lots of familiar faces there, including Dr. Goodwill Shana that was with us for last year from Zimbabwe. So if you can make it at 13 hours, I will see you there. It'll be a wonderful time together. All right. Are you glad you're in church today? I am. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20. We're going to take a few weeks and intentionally look at the Word of God when it comes to divine healing, with the purpose of allowing our hearts to see God's heart, and so that we can not just maybe get a few questions right on a Bible quiz, but to trust Him, but to trust Him. You know, while we live in this day and age, in this earth that is fallen and it has thorns and thistles, and when we get to the new heaven and a new earth, we will have a glorified body. But for now, especially those of you that you can tell your body is getting older, after the age of 50, things start happening and you wonder, why are they happening? All right. But our bodies will not make it. They're going to die. And the funeral announcements that we heard today, one day that will be our funeral announcement. But during this time, God says, I care about your physical body. And I care about what you're going through. And so we can trust Him to help us. And I want to look at something that Jesus showed us when He was in His earthly ministry, of one of the greatest motivations of God for our health and for our healing. All right? In Matthew chapter 20, verse 29, it says, they went out of Jericho. A great multitude followed Him. And behold, two blind men sitting by the road, when they heard that Jesus was passing by, they cried out, saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David. Then the multitude warned them that they should be quiet, but they cried out all the more, saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David. Verse 32, so Jesus stood still and called them and said, what do you want me to do for you? And he said to him, Lord, these two blind men, they said to him, Lord, that our eyes may be opened. So Jesus had compassion and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him. Now, in this account, there would be probably even more details than are recorded in Scripture. But the Holy Spirit, who moved upon people to write the Word of God, was very specific about what He wanted recorded. And so it's for our benefit and for our good. And it's important for us to see what in this account did the Holy Spirit say? Because there's so many wonderful things here. So first of all, these men that were blind cried out, Son of David, and you might not be familiar with that term, but what they were saying is, we recognize that Jesus is the Messiah. He is the long-awaited one, the one that the prophets foretold, and He is the one, Son of David. That was the title that they used. But they said something, have mercy. Have mercy. Now, the mercy of God has this connotation that God is treating you better than you deserve. Treating you better than you deserve. God's throne in the Old Testament, there was the mercy seat, and the blood was applied to the mercy seat. I've got a younger brother, and he's got three kids, and they're now older, but when they were teeny tiny, one of them had his firstborn, Grace, who was, I don't know what she did wrong. When I knew her as a little kid, she seemed like she never did anything wrong. But anyway, she did something wrong. And she was in trouble. And she was going to go see her dad for punishment. But my sister-in-law got Grace before she went in to go see my brother and said, "Grace, ask Dad for mercy. Ask Dad for mercy." Probably knowing that my brother is kind of a softy, you know, and that's his firstborn daughter. So she goes in there, and with these big, big eyes, she says, "Dad, Dad, I want Murray." He didn't quite understand what it was that she was asking for. So these guys didn't ask for Murray, they asked for mercy. But the same idea is that they were not asking for what they deserved. They were not asking based on their merits. They were not asking based on their Torah report card of how many boxes they had ticked and how good they had been. They cried out to the Messiah, "Have mercy. Have mercy on us." And I think it's one of the most remarkable phrases in all the Gospels, and it's recorded in some of the other Gospels as well, that when Jesus heard this, he stopped. He stood still. See, Jesus was going somewhere. And how many know he kind of had a purpose in life, right? The biggest purpose any human has ever had. And so every day was filled with purpose. But when someone asked him for mercy, he stopped. He stopped. Because he is the God of all mercies. And they were asking, they were appealing in a sense to the right thing. And notice it says here that when he was called over, he allowed them to ask. So here are two blind people, and they say, "Jesus, have mercy on us." And then Jesus says, "What would you have me to do for you?" He allowed them to ask for what they wanted. And I'm not sure, maybe we could ask Jesus when we get to heaven, but I think that if Jesus, you know, in that day and age, people ate, you know, bread, kind of like our, what we would have a pita bread, we would have shawarmas in, and kapenta, dried fish. And I think if these guys would have said, "Jesus, can I have some bread and kapenta?" I think that's what he would have given them, because that's what they asked for. But what did they ask for? That we might receive our sight. And so, the Bible could say anything about what Jesus did. And sometimes it just says what Jesus did. But in this account, and in many other accounts of the Gospels, it shows what motivated Jesus. It shows what was in his heart. And what's interesting is what the Holy Spirit does not bring out. It doesn't say, "And Jesus was really interested in proving that he was the Son of God, and he was going to display his power so everyone could see it." That's not at all what it says. Now, could that be true? Maybe, but it's not what it says here. What it says is, Jesus was moved with compassion. And it's all over the Gospels. Jesus was moved with compassion. We're going to look at a number of those cases today. And it's an interesting Greek word because it's combined. So we read it as three words, moved with compassion. Greek word, it's all just one word. Meaning that something moves you because of love and the condition of the other person. All right. So Jesus was motivated by compassion. And one of the things that I want you to see today is that if Jesus was motivated by compassion, he is motivated by compassion. Because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus was and is God. And so this is an amazing glimpse that we can see that when God sees our condition and God is aware of our condition and we come to him, he is motivated by love. All right. I've been blessed in my life you know, since I've been an adult, to see different physicians and different nurses, and many of them have been really competent and helpful and wise. So, so thankful. I really can't say that too many of them, I could tell, were moved with compassion. I mean, they were really good, clinical. But not only can Jesus, does he know what to do, we can trust that he loves us. All right? Let's look at a couple other verses here that show us that when we see Jesus, we can trust that this is God today. John 1:18. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, he has made him known. So when we go to the Gospels, there's so much we can see, but one of the things we must see is this is God being made known to us, revealing himself. The Message Bible, paraphrase, it says he, in verse 18 there, he has made him as plain as day. As plain as day. Hebrews 1:3, we saw this when we were going through the book of Hebrews. Hebrews 1:3, it says, the Son radiates God's own glory and expresses the very character of God. So is the character of God today moved with compassion when you are suffering? Yes. Yes. And so that means we can trust him. We can come to a God who cares about us. Now, let's look in the Gospels, because there were other instances and other things where Jesus was moved with compassion. Matthew 9:35. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them because of what he saw. Because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Now, you and I, when we hear that word sheep without a shepherd, it's not something we typically see every day in Lusaka, right? But you have to understand, in the day that Jesus lived, there were sheep everywhere, and there were shepherds. But the thing about it is, sheep need a shepherd. They cannot make it on their own. All right? The parable of the sheep that left the fold and was gone, everybody would say, yeah, that's what sheep do. All right? They get lost by their very nature, and they need someone to care for them. And so Jesus saw the people like sheep without a shepherd, meaning where are they going to eat? What are they going to do when they're broken? Where are they going to find direction? And he was moved with compassion. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And isn't it amazing? Jesus said it then, and it's still true today. Verse 38, therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. So Jesus saw the condition of people. I think the New Living Translation says their problems were so great and they didn't know where to go for help. Wouldn't you say in 2024, if we look around the world, the problems are so great, and many, many times people don't know where to go for help. They're using all kinds of other ways to try to fix their life. And so Jesus, there was a response that could change their situation. Go to Matthew 15. Matthew 15, verse 32. Now Jesus called the disciples to himself and said, I have compassion on the multitude, because they have now continued with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. You might complain that the preacher goes over 10 minutes on a Sunday. Jesus was preaching for 3 days. And I have nothing to eat. I do not want to send them away hungry, lest they faint on the way. All right? So again, it doesn't necessarily say that Jesus wanted to prove that he was God. And let me do this miracle, and then people will say, wow, he really is God. He cared about their needs. He cared about what they were going through. And he had the ability to do something about it. All right? And that's many, many times the difference between Jesus and us, isn't it? All right? Is sometimes we can have compassion, but then it kind of reaches the end of our ability, doesn't it? All right. We have a God who has no end to his power, no end to his ability. All right. And so Jesus fed them because he had compassion on them. Go to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. Now, this is interesting. This is a parable where someone has compassion. But the person in the parable who is having compassion is God. All right. So Jesus is telling a story to describe God, and notice what he says here. Matthew 18:21. Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? All right. So the Pharisees had said in that day and age, because they kind of added rules to the Torah and tweaked it a bit. But they said, you know, look, there's limits to forgiveness. All right. So if someone sins against you, forgive them three times in a day. But I mean, in the fourth time, I mean, come on, enough is enough. All right. So Peter is doubling what the Pharisees said. Plus one, right? And if you're into numbers in the Bible, which I'm not, seven is the number of completion. I don't know if it is. Maybe it is. All right. But this is a lot of forgiveness. Seven times in a day. All right. And then Jesus tells a parable for Peter. Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but 70 times 7 in a day. I really hope they have DVDs in heaven, because I want to see Peter's face when Jesus says that. It just whoosh. It's just like a gut punch, right? Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he began to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed 10,000 talents. Okay, $3 million. The amount is ridiculously high. All right, so for a person to pay that, it's impossible. There's no human way that they can get enough money or join enough village banks to make this possible. Okay, so this is humanly impossible. He was not able to pay. His master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and the payment be made. That would be justice. That was allowed in that day and age. That was according to the law. All right. So I'm going to get my money back, or I'm going to get a little bit of my money back. Then the servant fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me. Patience. $3 million, patience. Okay. Have patience with me, and I will pay you all. No, there's no patience that you will ever have that I will be able to pay all. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. Who does that? Who does that? God does that. All right? Some of you grew up and you remember that song, we owed a debt we could not pay. He paid a debt we could not, that we owed. Christ Jesus has washed my sins away. And so what happens here is that Jesus is telling us that God forgives us not because we earned it, not because we're precious, but because of himself, because of his love. And he releases us. You are forgiven based on the compassion of the King. Full stop. That's who we trust. That's who we go to. All right. Now, let's go back to the healing ministry of Jesus and see some other accounts, because that's what we want to see today. Matthew 14. And the context here is that his cousin, John the Baptist, his first cousin, had been murdered. And they obviously knew each other growing up. Jesus called him the greatest prophet of the Old Testament. In Matthew 14, when Jesus heard this, he departed from there by boat to a deserted place by himself. Jesus wanted to pray. Jesus wanted to be by himself. Jesus wanted to get away from the people. But when the multitudes heard it, they followed him on foot from the cities. When Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them and healed their sick. Why did he heal the sick? Because he was moved with compassion. He saw something, all right? Again, Jesus was interrupted, but his compassion is bigger than his schedule. Isn't that amazing? All right. I can't say the same for myself. All right. But Jesus responded with compassion. Mark 1. And this is just a beautiful, wonderful story here. Mark 1:40. Now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him and saying to him, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Now, verse 40 is already a problem. Here's the problem of the whole story right here. A leper came to him. Beep, 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 beep. Violation. Okay, leprosy was one of the conditions in the Old Testament that you needed to be away from the people. And so God invented the first public health laws of humankind. And they are amazing. And they are centuries ahead of science when you go to the book of Leviticus. All right. And this was one of them. So leprosy, you would be away from the people so it wouldn't spread. All right. So the fact that the leper even came to Jesus is an incredible act of confidence and boldness. And an incredible risk, because Jesus could have sent him away. Jesus could have said, "What are you doing here? You're gonna mess my life up." All right, but he came to him and said, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." And isn't it interesting that the leper's question was not about the ability of Jesus? It wasn't about the power of Jesus. Because evidently the leper had heard something that would cause him to come to Jesus. He didn't come to the Pharisees. He didn't come to even one of the disciples. He came to Jesus. So there was some reputation that Jesus had that was spreading. And he thought, let me take my chance with this Jesus, perhaps the Messiah, but someone who heals people. And Jesus, so here comes the man. Broke the law, wasn't supposed to be there, a risk to Jesus. Then Jesus moved with compassion, stretched out his hand, and touched him. Jesus wasn't supposed to do that. He wasn't supposed to touch him. Jesus was breaking the law at the time. But his compassion was greater than the regulations. Do you know that world, you can study this for yourself, But world history tells us that up until the fourth century, so after the life and the resurrection of Jesus, is that people who were sick would be cared for in their homes. And relatives would look after them, and people who perhaps had some level of training or had some knowledge of medicine would go and visit people. The very first hospital was not made by secular people looking to make a little bit of money. It was made by the Church of Jesus Christ. Why? Compassion. Compassion. And nowadays, we obviously, all over the world, there are hospitals that are, you could say, that are secular, that are not faith-based. There are hospitals that are attached to other world religions. But Christianity and the compassion and the love that people had, like God, for sick people, caused them to start housing people who were sick and to give them care. And at the time that happened, there was no charge. Why? How is that? Compassion. Love. Still today, as you go around the world, many, many, many of the finest hospitals around the world are faith-based. SDA in this nation. Catholic, Methodist, Presbyterian, Baptist. All over the world, all right? There's an element of faith, and what is it? It's the compassion of Jesus that causes us to care for those who are sick, all right? So Jesus touched this man and said to him, "I am willing, be cleansed. I am willing, be cleansed." And as soon as he had spoken, the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. Now, this account is very similar to the majority of the accounts in the Gospels that the person who was sick, the person who was in trouble, was the one who initiated the encounter with Jesus. Over and over and over again. You remember the woman with the issue of blood, right? She had spent all and she only grew worse. And she pressed through the crowd and she touched the hem of his garment. Jesus didn't find her. She found Jesus. This account with the leper, it doesn't say that Jesus woke up in the morning and said, "Hey, Peter, round me up some lepers. Let's do some leper ministry today." Now, he could have. He certainly could have. But he didn't. He didn't. Over and over and over and over again in the Gospels, you will find people coming to Jesus. All right? Or, you know, Peter saying, "Jesus, would you come to and help my mother-in-law?" Or the four friends that of the paralyzed man, that they brought their friend to Jesus. All right. So sometimes there were other people involved. And then Jesus responded. And so this helps us to realize that we need to look to him. You know, in the New Testament, when James is just talking to believers, he said, "Are any sick among you?" Meaning there might be. All right. "Are there any sick among you? Let them," who? The sick. "Call for the elders of the church," and then there's prayer, anointing of oil, the prayer of faith shall save the sick. But who raises their hand? The sick. The sick. All right? So coming to Jesus, we can trust that he loves us. We can trust that he is the same. But God is inviting us to reach out to him. God is inviting us to seek him in these times where we are in trouble, all right? Elsewhere in the Bible, Jesus was moved with compassion. There was a demonized person who was released from demons, and it was based on compassion. The prodigal son, when he came home, spoiler alert, the dad is the father in the story, right? The Father God. And so when he saw his son still a far way off, same phrase, he was moved with compassion. And the father ran. The father responded. Amen. But who came home? The son, right? You know, we sometimes call him the prodigal son or the lost son. He wasn't lost. He knew exactly where his dad lived. The sheep was lost. The coin was lost. But the son was not lost. All right. The son left. But thank God he remembered his father's house. And he remembered his father's character. And he came home. Oh, and the father responded. But the same phrase, same response of God. Matthew 15, verse 21. Then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed." Have mercy, son of David. Huh. Sounds like the blind guys, right? Very similar thing. Except, again, if we were living in that day, we would see something. It says a woman of Canaan. Uh-oh. What does that mean? She's not Jewish. She doesn't have a covenant with God. All right? She was, but for all we know, she's an idol worshiper like all of her relatives. Okay? So a woman of Canaan, and Jesus is going to reiterate that when Jesus came to the earth, he was primarily sent to the people of God, the Jewish nation at the time. All right. Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter's severely demon-possessed. All right. Pretty awesome request. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away. She cries after us." But he answered and said, "I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." This isn't my jurisdiction. This is not where the Father gave me this assignment. Then she came and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered and said, "It's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs." And she said, "Yes, Lord. Yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table." And Jesus answered and said to her, "Oh, woman, great is your faith." You know, when Jesus commended people for their faith, they were non-Jewish people. Isn't that interesting? This woman, the centurion, the Roman, all right? "Let it be to you as you desire." And her daughter was healed from that very hour. All right, but go back to verse 26. Go back to verse 26 here. And notice what Jesus, so what's the end of the story? The daughter was healed, right? So that's what was manifest. That's what she experienced. And he said, "It's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs." So what does Jesus refer to healing as? Children's bread. Okay. I am 100% convinced if Jesus was saying this in Lusaka in 2024, he would have said it's not good to take the children's inshima. If he said this in Thailand today, he would have said it's not good to take the children's rice. Okay, it's the staple. It's what you eat every day. And here's the other thing. It's what parents provide. It's what parents provide. And it is what is there for the children. I would hope that you grew up in a home that when it came to mealtime and there was food, now there may have been an order in which you ate. You know, with, I don't know if you were the baby or the oldest son or whatever. There may have been some protocol. But the fact that there was food in the house that was prepared means it's for you. It's for you. Do you remember growing up at home when you would get a certain smell? You would know what it is, and you're thinking, I know what this means. All right. And not only is there food in the house, but if there's food in the house and it's being made by the dad or the mom or their delegated authorities, right? It is for me. Did I pay for it? No. Do I even know how it's made? No. But I know how to eat it. Okay? So Jesus says that healing is the children's bread. It's provided by a father who knows you need it. It's provided by a father who, the Jehovah Jireh, the one who sees ahead and makes provision before you get there. All right. So when Jesus made provision for us on the cross, by his stripes we were healed. I'd never been sick yet. But Jesus paid a price before I even showed up. The children's bread. So, the Bible, Jesus made an instance where he talked about when we come to our Father and we're seeking him, we can have assurance that we find and that there will be answers. And then he used an illustration. He said, how many of you, this is Matthew 7, he said, how many of you, and if you being evil, you being carnal, you're not even regenerated, but if your child asks for food, if they ask for meat, for fish, would you give them a viper, a poisonous snake? What's the answer? No. If they ask for bread, would you give them a stone? No. All right. And then he uses these amazing words. How much more will your heavenly Father give good things to those who ask? How much more? And parents, if you are a mom or a dad in this place and you've raised kids, very likely you've walked with them through sickness or some disease or some malady or something like that. And the care and the concern, you know, if the doctor said, you know, can I chop off your left pinky and we'll make some medicine and your child will be healed. Chop away. I would say chop away. Please put me under before you chop. But I mean, you can chop. Don't let me see the blood. But yes, you go ahead and chop. Okay. What is that? It's compassion, isn't it? And it's for your natural child. Jesus said, you have a father that is far above the natural human instinct that we have towards our children. And so healing is the children's bread. And so, friend, whether that's something you need today or you need to just remember this for the future, that when you are seeking God, this is something that is in the heart of God and that he has already provided for you in Christ Jesus. And we can go with confidence and with boldness and with assurance. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for sending Jesus and all that he did. And Father, we're so thankful that part of what he did is he revealed you to us. Father, thank you that we have the canon of Scripture and we have the Gospels intact so that we can see you and so that we can know you, that we can love you, and that we can trust you. And not just trust you on good days, but trust you on tough days. And trust you when our bodies are aching and when we get a report from the doctor or when we don't know what's going on. We can come to Jesus and say, Jesus, have mercy on me. Not because I've earned anything, not because I'm special, but because I'm your child. And I've come to receive the bread of children, the provision for those in the household of God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And right now, if you're in this place and you yourself, there's sickness, there's disease, there's a report from the doctors, just go ahead and lift up your hand right now. Just lift up your hand right now. And in doing so, receive the children's bread. Receive the children's bread right now, right where you are. The Bible shows us there are many wonderful different ways that God transmits and ways that we receive healing. But one of the ways is by you trusting Him right now. Father, thank you for every hand lifted up. Thank you for every body, every single part of their body, head to toe, that is healed, that is transformed. Father, thank you for the power of God flowing through their bodies as they receive the children's bread right now, Father. Their hand is up, Lord, not to me or not to a person, but to you. They're providing, Father. And so, Lord, we stand with these, our church family. And Lord, we thank you for every need met in their bodies right now in Jesus' name. We thank you that tumors are disappearing. We thank you that disorders are changing in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you that viruses bow their knee to the name of Jesus, the name above all names. Father, thank you so much for your mercy, for your compassion, and it is extended to these in Jesus' name.